I was sitting there. I was the only car around. They flipped the sign like right as I'm coming up, and I was like, oh, dang. And I had the windows down because it was really nice that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up and like, oh, where are you traveling from? And they actually thought I was from Kansas because my rental car was from Kansas.
Nice.
And I was like, nah, I'm out east. And yeah, they just kept talking. And I was like, I can't get out. Like, I literally cannot get out of this without being a jerk. And
I love it.
Dude, yeah. It's interesting though, man. Like, there's something about just like, once you get west of the Mississippi, like how communal and talkative people are.
Yeah.
Until you hit like the coastal states. And then.
That's true. And if you hit the coastal states, down in California, you can find people that have talked to you. Up, like Oregon, Washington, they don't really give a shit about talking to you.
Yeah.
At all.
That's how I feel. Yeah. Oregon, Washington, Idaho for sure. Idaho's almost mm-hmm. like, I've had some people just, I don't know, like they look at me very skeptical. Like, what are you doing here?
Out west, that's true. Southeast Idaho, you get some more Mormons, and they'll actually talk to you, which I find interesting. I used to go to Pocatello a lot for work.
Oh, nice.
Those people will talk to you,
dude. Somebody at work was just talking about Pocatello. I've only been to the northern panhandle, and it was outside of Coeur d'Alene. It gets it's unique America.
Mm-hmm.
Pocatello seems pretty neat though. Somebody else said they had some family there. And
there's mountains around it. It's kind of cool. I've never been there in like prime time weather, which sucks. Mm. But every time I've been there, it's always been just kind of brown, like fall or winter.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah, nothing like winter in the high desert.
It's very brown. That's for sure.
Is Pocatello? I think there are like some dunes or something near there.
Yeah, I think there is. It's not Craters of the Moon, but there's something like that. It's west of there, I think.
It actually is Craters of the Moon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Close-ish. Close by the standards out here.
Yeah, no kidding.
We were talking about driving down south. Someone was like, oh, it's such a long drive. And I was like, I don't know. It seems kind of close considering there's like nothing between
that's really not here and there. Big of a deal.
Yeah,
it's funny how space and time is totally different depending on where you are.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm assuming Kansas is like this. West Virginia, they're a dry first state. Like, we just drove everywhere growing up.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. You don't really have a lot of other options, but yeah, you're going to drive. And the towns I lived in, I mean, there was no internet shopping, right? So if you want to get clothes to go to school, if you want to get electronics, you're driving 45, 40 minutes, no matter what. Like, you don't have another choice. So we're used to it.
Was Manhattan the closest?
Yeah, Manhattan was the closest to where I grew up.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know, like, it's funny because we lived between the two big cities, and the big cities were still like 20 minutes one direction, 30 minutes in the other.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a smaller city kind of west of us, but yeah.
Yeah, you could get to Lincoln in under 2 hours. That was kind of cool and fun to do. Every once in a while, drive up to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Case Kansas City was under 2 hours too, so not bad.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Go see a concert or whatever.
Yeah. People do not understand that struggle, man. It's amazing.
No. That's the thing. That's the only reason I would have ever left a concert early is it's in Kansas City in the middle of the week, and I got to drive 2 hours back to Manhattan afterwards. Like,
that's commitment,
I might leave before the end of this concert, especially if I don't really care about the final act.
How much do I care about this headliner?
I'm telling you, dude. I watched half of Primus one time, bailed. Who else am I? I bailed on a couple people. I was just like, yep, that's enough for me. I saw who I wanted to see. I'm out of here.
Man, that's so funny. Mm-hmm. I usually try to stick around for all the shit. There's one time where my friends and I, we went to see a band I really like, and it was like our third or fourth time seeing them at least. And about halfway through their show, we were just like, there's something off about the band tonight. Like, do you just want to go? I feel like
I just want to peel out of here.
Yeah. But dude, it's funny, man. When I mention I'm from West Virginia, most people I meet for the first time are like, I've never been there. I'm like, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people have never been there.
Not that easy to get to.
Yeah, it's not necessarily on the way to a lot of places either.
Oh, yeah.
I guess if you're coming across to like, yeah, I could see just crossing through it to go certain places to certain places, I guess, but.
Yeah, if you're in from like Michigan driving south, you're going to drive through
it. Yeah, or Ohio area trying to get to D.C., you're probably going to go through it.
Yeah. We're cut through state.
Yeah, well, Kansas, nobody, why would you ever come to Kansas unless you're going somewhere else? Trust me, I know what a flyover state's all about. I'm with you there. Although there is some stuff in Kansas that sometimes people want to see. Not much, though. What number is this? 47?
47.
47. Songs with 47 in it. Man. Did Ja Rule, or no, Tech N9ne. Did Tech N9ne hook you up this week? Dude, another one?
I almost went with Tech. Dude, you would be amazed at how many Tech N9ne songs I've seen. I'm just like, this dude must have gone through 1 through 100 at some point.
I'm going to say every number before I'm done with my musical career. All
right, this one, though, it took a while to find something, but when I did, I was like, whew, something I know. Okay. Number 47, now for Jay and me, we're the cutest host birds you ever did see. You should be delighted with our company. Come on and do the podhouse rock with me. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody on the wholesale block was dancing to the podhouse rock.
Very nice. Elvis, correct?
Yeah, man. I was...
Well, Jailhouse Rock.
I shaked my little butt when...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so welcome to episode 47, Jay and Joey on the Record. I'm Joey.
I'm Jay.
Of course, we all know that one. So, funny enough, I just thought about this. That ties into the theme this week. So,
it does.
Really fun, unique idea today. Really diverse group. Tell the folks what they're in store for.
Yeah, so kind of come up with themes. Again, like I've said it before, it's getting tougher and tougher. But... Mm-hmm. I got to look and I had a couple soundtracks and I said, how are we going to incorporate these? So we've got a couple soundtracks. And then I thought, well, do I have any other albums that have songs on them, you know, that have appeared in movies? So that's what we've got. We've got albums that have songs that have appeared in films.
Nice, man. And it was just such a...
Very such diverse.
I mean... Really, no two things sounded alike. I guess one, yeah, you could kind of make the argument, but really, really not much, man. It kept me on my toes.
Yeah. Did you like the variety? Because I kind of did. Although, there were a couple things I wasn't real fond and looking forward to listening to, but we can get into that.
Yeah. So, on one hand, I love when, like last week, country. It's like, okay, I can get myself in that mindset. I love this stuff. Yeah, I can get down on this. With this, it's kind of exciting because I'm like familiar with some of this. One thing that I just like absolutely freaking love. A couple things where I was like, I don't know where this is gonna take me, but we're gonna jump on this ride. And yeah, I had fun, man.
Let's jump into it. I've got it sprinkled in. We'll do the soundtracks kind of mixed in the middle of what we're talking about. We're going to kick this off with Electric Light Orchestra, their seventh album, Out of the Blue. It came out October 3rd, 1977. This was their most commercially successful album.
That's interesting, considering it's a double LP.
Yeah, 10 million copies by 2007. So it's big time.
I don't know about you, but I can see why it sold 10 million.
I love this thing, man. We'll talk about it. I've got a question to ask you here later on about it. But, well, I guess I'll just get out of the way. So I used to be a huge fan of burning CDs. I used to just make all kinds of burn CDs. Just I'd buy those big old stacks and just burn the whole stack.
Yeah, yeah.
Give them away.
With a little tower in the middle.
Yep. So anyway, I had what I called my ELO greatest hit CD, and it was basically this album. I mean, there were only a couple other things on it. So yeah, I was familiar with this, and I loved this album.
Dude, that's awesome. Like, I'm pretty sure I like the last one. I don't remember like a ton off of it, but I remember just like really having a good time. I cannot believe how freaking good most of this album was. Like, I was shocked. Shocked.
Nice. Glad to hear it. And there is a mix of like singles and then some concept stuff and stuff you're not going to hear unless you're listening to this album specifically. So mm-hmm. pretty cool. It's a double LP. I knew that going in. So I was fully prepared to listen to whatever this is, 72 minutes of music or something like that. So I was ready to go. Let's see, A-side then. What'd you think of it?
I mean, gosh, I really do have notes on almost everything on this entire album, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I when you said 72 minutes, like, I knew it was a double LP. I listened to this thing. It was a fast 72 minutes, man.
It was. It was really enjoyable. And there's a ton of songs. How many songs, too? Like, 72 minutes, sometimes you hear that. It's like a concept song. But it's like 17, 18 songs. Yeah. Yeah, it's a ton of songs. So, kicks off with Turn to Stone. And that's actually, I'm happy that I let off with this album because this song actually does meet our theme for the week. Mm. This song can very faintly be heard in the elevator in the film Detroit Rock City when they're going to try to get some KISS tickets. You can hear it playing in the elevator.
So. That's awesome. As far as the song goes, like, it's insanely catchy. I love the synth and the strings. It was like Queen and Beatles and just enjoyable.
Yeah, it's really dynamic. Good opener for an album. Great, like, pop hooks combined with hard driving rock synth. And then you got cello. Like, that's one of my, that's absolutely my number one note on ELO, everything. Just the little addition of the strings makes it so much better.
Dude, it takes it up such a level. Props to whoever made that creative decision, because it really does just elevate their entire game and really helps them to differentiate themselves.
So let's see. You said you had notes on every song. Anyone in particular then from the A side you want to talk about?
It's over. Like, it's heavy and sullen, but in the same way, it has this odd upbeatness to it. Sweet Talking Woman. That's where I really started writing about the strings and keys on this album. Just classing everything up and just everything's just so stupid catchy and hooky.
You mentioned the keys. That's the first one that they've got keys on, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the third track in. But they're subtle, but they're great. And they just run throughout the whole track. A little disco to it, but I don't have a problem with it at all. It's just really cool. Every once in a while, there'll be a cool little guitar lick in there. They just have it all. They put it all together.
Yeah, they really do. And it makes me wonder, like, who was driving that creative decision? Was it the band? Was it a producer?
I think it's going to be probably Jeff Lynne. Like, just...
Sure, yeah.
He wrote all this. He produced all of this. I think he's probably the driving force. And we'll talk about that a little bit further on down the line here. So that's the A side.
Yeah.
B side, what do you got here? Anything?
Jungle might have been the standout for me. Jungle and Steppin' Out. Steppin' Out I actually liked a bit more.
Oh, I love Steppin' Out. Jungle was cool. It was kind of like almost a world music vibe to it, but still great pop rock. One thing I did notice, at least I felt about the B-side, none of these are songs that have been used in films, but this B-side was very, very theatrical. And I feel like that's another thing that ELO does. The addition of the strings, like the choral vocals and stuff, it's all very theatrical and big and symphonic sounding.
Dude, it's so freaking big. And Steppin' Out, one of my notes is I'm actually surprised this hasn't been on a soundtrack. Because I looked it up. I was like, this has to be on a soundtrack. Nope, it's such a soundtrack song. Like you said, it's just so big. Designed for the stage. And the final minute of that song just kills.
I looked it up because I wanted to give him specific credit. You've got Mick Kaminsky on the violin and Hugh McDowell on the cello. Those dudes make ELO so much more than they would be without them. It's just incredible. Let's see here. The C-side, this is why I was saying maybe Jeff Lynne's the driving factor. So the C-side here is a suite called Concerto for a Rainy Day. It's a four-track musical suite. It was inspired by Jeff Lynne's experience living in a Swiss chalet up in the mountains, and when he was trying to write this album, he had trouble coming up with stuff, and then because it was dreary, it was raining constantly, and one day the sun came out, and he just went on a flurry of writing. So that's kind of what this suite is here.
That's awesome. Yeah. I loved how it all flowed into each other. I really liked so many pieces of this. I have a big standout on this Seaside, but what about you?
Well, what's your standout?
Summer and Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that thing killed. Like, the synth, like, the thunder crashes, keyboards, harmonies, power pop. Like, what's not to love? Like, the little bridge with the percussion and claps.
Those were actual thunder claps, by the way.
Really?
It's the same thing with Standing in the Rain. It kicks off with a rainstorm. It was actually a recording that Jeff Lynne did when he was up in the mountains. I thought that was awesome.
That's funny, because I remember listening to that and thinking, this almost sounds fake, it's so real. But apparently, it was real.
And then the one I really had notes on is the last track there, Mr. Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. Super catchy, really, really positive, optimistic vibe. You can tell this is when the sun came out during his, you know, writing. But this one, because of those things, has been used in tons and tons of different films. Things like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. From that to Paul Blart Mall Cop. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Shaun of the Dead, Megamind. Film we talk about all the time, Role Models. This song is featured in Role Models. So,
I would love to know how much money they've made off licensing this song.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. How much of the Role Model soundtrack? I know we've talked about at least four songs off there. Five songs.
Certainly Kiss Week, we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, talked about a couple there. Did we talk about Rock You Like a Hurricane at some point?
We did do a Scorpions album, but
yeah, it was on
pretty
there.
Sure. Yeah, it does have Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yeah, yep. This, and then of course, Love Take Me Down to the Streets.
Oh, my favorite Wings tune. And it's not just movies for this song, actually. So this was used at the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2012 Summer Olympics.
Jeez,
it's been used in like Commonwealth Games, all sorts of shit, man. It's crazy. It was used in Doctor Who for a few episodes. Like, here's the one I just looked up, actually. On October 23rd, 2021, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem released a cover of this song. Do you know who Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem are?
I'm not familiar with that, no.
That's the band on the Muppets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the name of that band on the Muppets.
Oh, I love me some Muppets. I don't know how you feel about them, but
I'm a huge Muppets fan. Big old Muppets fan. All right, so let's continue here. Anything else you want to say about Mr. Blue Sky?
No, I'm looking at this Role Model soundtrack now. And Call Me the Breeze was also on there. Jeez.
I keep rolling. It was like designed for us. Road. Sweet.
Yeah. So how about this D-side?
I'm telling you, that movie is so
it should go into Library Congress.
Yes. All right, let's keep rolling. I have one interesting note. I did enjoy Sweet as the Night. We can talk about that one. That kicks off the D side. Just an awesome composition. Really positive vibes, I felt like, throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just highly symphonic. It feels like the Beatles plus the Bee Gees plus a symphony is kind of what this whole thing feels like. But all the good parts
of
those things.
I said that I was just kind of running out of notes by this point. Of like what to say. Because it's just pop brilliance.
It is. Now, speaking of that, when you get to the Whale.
Uh-huh.
That was like ELO does Pink Floyd. It was an instrumental.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of keyboard in that one. It was inspired by Jeff Lynne watching a documentary on people killing whales. So he kind of wrote this song. So, yeah, I know. Anyway, that one was used on a nightly television station in Toronto in the 90s. So another song appearing on the screen of some size.
What an interesting song to choose for.
I know.
For a nightly program.
Yes. When the station signed off, they played The Whale by ELO.
Jeez. They're not. No, they're British, aren't they? Yeah, they're not.
They are British.
Okay.
All right, anything else? I love Wild West Hero. If you don't talk about Wild West Hero, I probably will. But go ahead. Anything else you
want to talk about? I was going to say, yeah, go nuts. I love the old-timey piano and thought it was a solid closer.
Yeah, the band's normal cellist played the Western-style piano. I thought that was really, really cool. I just don't have too many notes on the D side, but the whole thing was freaking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. Overall, I'm just astonished by how much this clicked with me. And yeah, just very well crafted piece of pop.
It's a piece cool of album
in general. Yeah,
cool album cover too. It's got a spaceship with like another smaller spaceship docking with it. It looks like a Simon.
Oh my god! Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It really does.
Red, green, Simon. What a game that was.
That's so frustrating.
Predecessor to the Bop-It.
Ooh, now we're talking.
You know, the Simon was the Bop-It was a Simon evolved. Beep, boop, beep, boop.
Twist it.
All right, let's keep rolling here. ELO, very nice. $3 I paid for that. American dollars. Yes, it's in great shape too.
An insane steal.
Next, number two, we're going to talk about the Electric Horseman soundtrack. This was from the 1979 film The Electric Horseman, starring Robert Redford and Jane Fonda, with a guest starring role from none other than Willie Nelson, who provides the first half of the songs on this album. First question I have for you, have you ever seen The Electric Horseman?
No, I was going to ask you the same thing.
I have not. I bought this album for one reason and one reason only, and that is the little picture of Willie Nelson in the top right-hand corner of the cover sleeve is so hilarious to me, I could not help but buy it.
He looks like a little kid distracted by something.
He does. To me, he looks like Porky Pig at the end of the Looney Tunes when the... The circle's closing on him. That's all, folks. Anyway, that's why I bought it. I think I paid a dollar or two for it, but I bought it because I love that little picture of Willie. All right, so the basic storyline of the Electric Horseman. You got Robert Redford. I looked this up. He's a rodeo rider who used to be really big time. And now he's like a big business conglomerate lackey, and he's doing like breakfast cereal stuff. So they got him shooting a commercial with this horse. Turns out the horse is all drugged up and it's kind of injured. And he's like, this sucks. I don't want this horse to be in this captivity anymore. So he gets on the horse and they ride off into the desert.
Oh, nice, Robert.
Yeah, so that part sounds cool. He's then followed by a reporter who is writing the story of the man running away with the horse, and they fall in love and all this nonsense. So I'm sure it's fine, but it doesn't sound like anything I'm going to rush to the theaters to see.
It sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It does. It does. It definitely does. But let's talk about the soundtrack here. What did you have trouble finding this, or did you find it all right?
I had a hard time. But I was able to find most of the individual songs.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yeah, I could peck around. That's usually what I do when I can't find something is I'll try and find the individual songs in Spotify or on YouTube. And for the most part, I think it was covered. Dude, this is one of the weirdest things I think we've listened to.
Totally. Very weird. Very, very weird. It kicks off with a cover of an Allman Brothers song. It's Willie Nelson singing Midnight Rider. The whole A-side is five Willie Nelson tracks, so let's rip through those here. What'd you think of Midnight Rider by Willie Nelson here?
Honestly, I really like this cover. Maybe even more than the original, to be honest with you. I'm not much of an Allman Brothers fan, so that could also be why, but harmonica, drums, bass are sick. I liked it.
You've got a ton more experience listening to Willie Nelson than I do. So let me just say this. His voice didn't sound like Willie Nelson on that particular song. No. The rest of them he did. It didn't sound like Willie Nelson on Midnight Rider for whatever reason.
Yeah, it was like a down an octave.
And yeah. It's a little different.
Threatening, even.
Yes. All right, so next we've got a cover of a Waylon Jennings tune, My Heroes Have Always Been Cowboys. What'd you think about Willie singing Waylon Jennings?
Dude, yeah, it's a great Western tune, man. Heavy song about the cowboy life, like 2 weeks in a row. We're talking about that cowboy and rodeo life.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought the same. You know, Willie's version actually was pretty popular. It hit it pretty big, so I guess I can see he did a nice job with it.
Okay.
Track three, another cover. We've got Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys, which was originally recorded by Ed Bruce. What'd you think of Willie's version of this?
This is probably the most famous version, I would guess. I think it's probably one of the more famous Willie songs. I really love the tempo and the rhythm section on this. The harmonies are good. I love the whole song, honestly. And I love how it picks up towards the end, and I'm like singing at the top of my lungs.
I was in on that one. Yeah, that was really solid. And then anything to say on the last one?
Yeah, I think it might actually be my favorite Willie Nelson song. But
so I have no notes on Hands of the Wheel. It really stood out to you. Huh? What'd you think?
Yeah.
What stood out about it?
It's just like this world slowly crumbling. He's trying to find his place while hoping things get better and searching for love. Like, it's just a dang good Western tune. And then we fall off a cliff.
And then the B-side, it's all instrumentals, so it's just at least, oh, almost all instrumentals, excuse me. I forgot about one of them. So what'd you think about this? This is all from one composer, David Grusin. What'd you think of this?
Okay. So let me tell you how I search for things. I have your Discogs open. I'm searching based on the name, based on certain information, like song title. Sometimes it will list out like who the performer was or composer or anything. And I was like, huh, Dave Grusin, okay. I guess we're not in for a full Willie soundtrack.
Correct.
When I played this, my reaction was, what the shit just happened?
It sucked. A lot of disco on this B-side, but not the good kind. Electro Phantasma is the first track. Just not 5 minutes. What did you find? Did you enjoy anything? Did you hear Disco Magic? Did you get to Disco Magic?
Oh, dude, you better believe it. What in the hell was going on in this movie where the sounds are so drastically different from side A?
Dude, it's hilarious, too, because even these songs are drastically different. You got Electro Phantasmo, which, like I said, it's like a fast-paced disco instrumental. Then you've got The Electric Horseman, which sounds like a cop chase, too, from the 70s.
And then it goes apparently into... used to be the Daytona 500 song.
No shit.
Mm-hmm. I found that in the YouTube comments.
Beautiful. And then it goes into Disco Magic. Wild, wild stuff on the B-side here.
Cheesy. It's like they found this one loop and just stuck with it. And it damn near drove me nuts.
Yeah, that's really all I have to say about the B-side. You got anything else to say about it?
Mm-mm.
Nah, not so good. I still am glad that I bought this for $1 for two reasons. One, the picture of Willie Nelson... And two, I'm going to send you a picture. It's a picture from the back of the album. I want you to tell me what wrestling move Robert Redford is doing to Jane Fonda there. Because it looks like a powerbomb or some sort of a DDT sort of move. What do you think is going on there?
It looks like he's about to pile drive her.
Yeah, I'm saying. It's like almost a jackknife pile driver, something like that. So, not sure what's going on with that. I wouldn't surprise you.
I like Willie with a grimace face, like, pulling his hat down next to him.
Hat down. Yes, dude, sir. Yeah.
Man, I don't want to see this movie, but I want to see it.
I want to know what's going on in that scene. Is he really doing a wrestling move there? Kind of looks like it. All right, moving on. Number three this week, we've got Jim Croce's 5th and final studio album, I Got a Name. This was actually released after Jim passed away in a plane crash. The album came out December 1, 1973. Jim Croce died in a plane crash on September 20, 1973. So a couple months after he died.
Do you know if it was finished recording? Or did they have to like go back into the studio? Okay.
It was finished. It was finished. In fact, one of the singles came out the day he died.
Ooh.
Or the day after he died, excuse me.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. Actually, it was the lead-off track, I Got a Name.
Okay.
Was released on the day after, so September 21st, 1973. This was a huge hit. It was also the theme song for the 1973 movie, The Last American Hero. It has also been featured in other movies, Invincible, Django Unchained, Logan, the Lego Ninjago movie. So it's been used in a lot of variety of films here.
Yeah. No real threads connecting those.
No. So what did you think of Jim Croce? What did you think of I Got a Name, the first track here?
So I'm not much of a Jim Croce fan. He has gotten a lot of airplay in our house, though, if that gives you any hint as to who is the Jim Croce fan. I will say, though, I Got a Name. It's a nice song. Decent piano. I had no idea this was the title of the song until this week.
A little bit of strings in there, some guitar picking. It's a nice little song. So I'll tell you, I like Jim Croce for a couple reasons. One, I don't know what CD it was. My parents had a mixed CD, just like a variety, like the 70s, you know, growing up. And it had Bad, Bad Leroy Brown on it.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I just got a little soft spot for Jim Croce. It reminds me of road trips with my parents growing up. And then in college, my roommate at one time from a thrift store purchased an 8-track player and two little speakers and about 6 8-tracks. And I Got a Name was actually one of them. We used to listen to this a lot in my apartment.
Oh, nice. I was going to ask if it held up, if the 8-track player did.
I mean, it was fine. It was fine. All right, so maybe what else stands out to you then? Anything else on the A side here?
I don't have too much there. Like 5 minutes short. I liked the piano, the cowboy. It had some strut and swagger, you know, a little Elton John sounding, but it had some cool sax.
He does have so a little bit more variety in what he's doing than I normally think of when I think of Jim Croce. Like,
yeah, totally.
Which one was it? Lover's Cross was like almost a Cat Stevens tune.
Yeah.
Just a really sweet acoustic track. He was almost in that Cat Stevens vocal register too.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, ooh, this is mirroring a little too closely.
But then you get like Working at the Car Wash Blues. I actually really liked that song. It was kind of a funny tune about a guy who thinks he's a bigwig and he's working at a car wash just saying, well, if things would have gone differently, I could have been this rich dude, you know, making money and all that kind of stuff. I think it's a fun song.
Dude, yeah, really good storytelling was my note on that because we all know that person who's like, oh, yeah, if this had done, oh, if I got this break. And it's like, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, he actually came up with it when he was running telephone cables at a military base, Fort Jackson. He was just like, I should be doing something else. So he came up with the idea for this song.
He was at Fort Jackson?
Yeah.
Huh. That was right down the road from where we lived in Columbia.
There you go. Let's see. Track 6 is I'll Have to Say I Love You in a Song. It's like the ultimate track to put on a mixtape to give to your honey.
Dude, yeah. I forgot he did this song. Sweet, it's tender, very schmaltzy. Like it's
he wrote it after getting in a fight with his wife and he he went downstairs and wrote this, which I think is a pretty good sentiment. You know, I can't figure out how to say the words just talking to you, but I can say it in a song. So I think that's a pretty sweet little thing.
Fine. I'm going to go write a song for you. I know we're mad at each other.
Yep.
That's sweet.
And I don't have too many more notes on the way out here. Didn't mind it. There is one really pretty one. Salon and Saloon is just Jim and the piano, which is kind of pretty. But the rest of them just kind of
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah. I bet they have good tater tots at the Top Hat Bar and Grill, though. That's the only thing I would have to say. Track number 9.
You know, This really makes me wonder, because where my wife grew up, about maybe 15 minutes away from her hometown, there used to be a place called Top Hat. And I was like, what if Jim was stopping in there? And that's where...
I'm telling you, he could have been. Could have been.
He's from Philly, so it's possible.
Did they have tater tots there?
I imagine.
Tater tots should be option A. French fries should be option B. More places. Dude, give me tots.
I don't get why so many places don't offer tots as an option.
Like, diversify.
Come on. Got that little crispiness, a little chewiness. Mm.
Yes. All right. So I don't have a ton of notes on Jim Croce. I liked it all the way through, but I got a little sentimental attachment to this. And it did meet our criteria of being played in a movie. So there we go. You got any final thoughts on Jim?
Nah, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't in the mood. Like, it's undeniable songwriting. It's just not my thing at the end of the day, but all the respect to him.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. And that's about all I can say. It was fine. Totally fine. Yeah. Let's see. Number four this week. We're cruising. We're going to talk about...
Probably Eddie... cruising.
All right. We've got Eddie Money's fourth studio album, No Control. This one came out June 11, 1982 on Wolfgang Records, which I don't know Wolfgang Records, but that's where it came out. Wolfgang in Columbia. It must be a subsidiary of Columbia. This baby was platinum within 5 years of its release. Some couple heavy hitters on here. What do you know about Eddie Money? You an Eddie Money guy at all?
Not really. I just don't know much about him. It's not really what I look for when I go to the 80s.
Sure. But oh, I gotcha.
I didn't necessarily like dislike this. Some of it I enjoyed a lot more than I expected to. But
$3, by the way, for this one. So I think it's worth the three buckaroos, I would say, after listening to it.
Eddie, not so much money.
All right, let's talk about it then. The first track stick out to you at all? That's probably one of his more famous tunes, Shaken.
Yeah, I think this whole album, for that matter, is very well produced. It has like a very nice sound of its era, but it is very, very well done.
Shaken does not quite meet the criteria songs from a film, but the music video for Shaken features actress, model, Apollina.
Okay.
From The Prince, Purple Rain. You remember? You ever seen Purple Rain?
Yeah.
Apollonia. There it is.
Apollonia. There we go.
Man,
we got can't there.
Even talk, but that's what it is. You can just leave me mispronouncing it, and I don't really care. Anyway, she is in the music video. She also co-starred in the film Purple Rain, and the music video itself was featured in an episode of Beavis and Butthead. So there you go.
Man, I don't know. Did you watch Beavis and Butthead growing up?
No. I know what the premise was for the most part, but no, I didn't watch it growing up.
Yeah, I definitely loved it. No surprise there. But
they apparently had high praise for Shaken, Beavis.
Oh, and really?
Did. So that's high marks. They enjoyed the video. They liked Eddie Money's faces, and they enjoyed watching Apollonia dance around. So. I think Shaken's good stuff myself. A good steady beat, got a good hook, pretty good guitar. Shaken's good.
I just want to see a bunch of videos of just them talking about the videos they're watching.
MTV should do that. Bring that back. Do that just like a half hour of that.
Yeah. Man, I'll never forget one time they were talking about this song called Detachable Penis.
Oh, hell yeah. Detachable Penis.
It was a hoot. All right, what else you got on the A side?
I saw my penis lying on a blanket. Man, that's a funny song. All right. I Think I'm in Love, track three. Best song on here, in my opinion. Been featured in several movies, including Joe Dirt. Once again, Paul Blart Mall Cop. Two songs today from Paul Blart Mall Cop. This is
very Paul Blart heavy.
Let's see. It's also been in the miniseries Waco. It's a good tune, man. I am a big fan of Think I'm in Love.
Yeah, this had some steam on it. It's ridiculous. It's basic. It's straightforward, but it is so much fun.
Got a good old hard drive and beat. Good mm-hmm. hook. Just absolutely in a highlight. It rocks harder than I thought, too. It's like almost late Van Halen vibes at times to some of the, like the actual rhythm section of what they're doing. But I don't know, man. I think I'm in love a lot.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
Anything else on the on this album, actually? I don't have a ton of notes going out here. What else you got?
I like Take a Little Bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little ominous, a little threatening, a little darker synth.
It has like, some big... Yeah, the keys in that one.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it kind of hooked me back in. Driving Me Crazy, again, I liked...
More of a ripper. Yeah, that one and Keep My Motor Running. A little harder rocking than what you might expect from Eddie Money, in my opinion. At least when I hear the name Eddie Money, I don't think of that kind of a tune. I actually really liked Passing by the Graveyard as well.
Okay, so I have a note on that. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, to me, it's a first ballot Hall of Famer for the music doesn't match the lyrics. Like, yeah. It's almost tropical, and it's singing about death.
It was, yeah, I got you. Like, I had so much trouble trying to come up, like, to explain this. Like, it was Randy Newman plus the Police. Like, when the Police gets a little reggae-ish, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I don't know how to explain it, but.
Dude, you nailed it. Because, like, the Police, I could definitely, I just couldn't figure out, like, who's the lyrical comparison? And it's Randy Newman, like observational, kind of like down on your luck type stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the best I could do.
I love it.
How did Eddie tickle your fancy on the whole? What'd you think of the whole album here?
I mean, it's only like 35 minutes, so I can't complain too much. It didn't always nail it for me, but I still had some fun.
Yeah, me too. I had a good time with Eddie here. And again, $3 for this bad boy. So not bad. Not bad. Another one I'd say worth $3. Hit my numbers this week.
How about this next one?
Well, it's a good thing I hit my numbers this week. Next up, we've got the soundtrack from the motion picture St. Elmo's Fire. This was composed by a man named David Foster. I have never seen St. Elmo's Fire. The only reason I own this album, my wife purchased this at a record store.
I was going to ask you both of those questions because I have not seen it either.
You know, it doesn't seem like my kind of movie, honestly.
Rob Lowe won a Razzie for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I will say there were some heavy hitters in the film
Dude,
itself.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. At the time, you got Emilio, Rob Lowe, Demi Moore,
yeah.
Judd Nelson, Ally Sheedy.
Famous Andy people. McDowell. Yeah, it was...
Yeah. But let's talk about this. First of all, my... My album is unplayable. It's completely unplayable. It's
Dude, that video you sent.
Yeah, it's so warped. It's like bent. It's like somebody tried to fold it in half.
Even calling it warped is like an understatement. It looked like it was melting.
The bend is so significant. If you put the needle on, there's a point where it bends so high that it lifts the needle up off of the record. It's touching the record arm, lifting the needle up, so there's no possible way to play it.
Dude,
I'm gonna throw it straight in the trash after this.
The first thing I thought of was, like, it looks like someone tossing a pizza, and it also kind of looks, you know, when people they used to turn like 45s into ashtrays.
Mm-hmm. Looks like somebody attempted that and then gave up halfway through. Yeah.
Oh man, let's get into this thing because this thing was poop for the most part.
Yeah. You want to talk about? I mean, the title track, the St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion, actually charted.
Yeah.
Featured in, you know, some charts. I hate it. It sucks. See,
I think it's actually a great pop song.
You like it. Okay. Like, tell
it
me
hooks
what you
me
think
in,
of it.
Man. Like, I love the chorus and I just like. Satan was fire. It's just so absurd that I'm like, I'm in. Then the next song, I was like, this is a bad version of someone trying to do a Prince song on Shakedown.
It's a Billy Squire tune, and it is not a top five Billy Squire song. And I can probably name five Billy Squire songs, so that I'll tell you where it sits. anything else? Young and Innocent by Elefante?
The dude's voice sounded so familiar. I couldn't find anything on Elefante. Like, to the internet, that band never existed.
So I know there are members of Toto, REO Speedwagon, Mr. Mister appearing on some of these songs.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that maybe hit on one of the people who did the Elefante track. Now, I will tell you, Save My Life, track five, performed by a man named Fee Waybill. That voice was very familiar. Fee Waybill, he sang for Toto and for a band called The Tubes. You ever heard of The Tubes?
I have, yeah.
She's a beauty.
This
sounded like a Lost Tube song to me.
The only thing I really know about Fee Waybill is he was referenced in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, is someone who like saved rock and roll or something like that. Like, yeah.
Wonderful. So, I mean, I actually like Save My Life. It was like a tube song, a little harder rocker. That was my favorite song on this album. I don't have anything else to say unless you want to talk about the B-side here.
No, absolutely not. But I have one note.
Lay it on me.
So, pretty late here if I turn you away. So we're getting deeper into the B-side.
Sure.
So I put this album on the speakers as a gag. And let me tell you, that bit got old real quick, but I just like dug my heels in and didn't take it off the speakers. And by the end, my wife was like, "Do you actually like this?" And I was like, "No, but it's on the speakers now, so that's where it's staying."
We have no other choice than to listen if I turn you away.
I'm committed to this whole album. On the speakers, and yeah, I regretted that decision real fast. Yeah, Stressed Out made me angry because it was like a C-grade NXS song, and I love NXS.
It was co-written by Jay Graydon. If you remember, Jay Graydon is the guy that played the impossible guitar solo on See You Dance Pig.
Wow.
It's my only note on that song.
Jay.
I saw the name, I was like, hey, I know that name. There it is.
The man, the myth, the legend.
All right, what did you think of St. Elmo's Fire soundtrack?
Look, the lead single is fire, in my opinion, but the rest needs to be extinguished.
Yeah, my main complaint is because the record itself was unplayable, I had to listen to this on Spotify. Spotify, I'm sorry, artists out there that aren't getting paid by Spotify, but I do use it. But anyway, it's going to screw up my recommended playlist so bad because I listen to this garbage. It's going to be, hey, you want to check out the latest from Elefante?
No, Elefante and Fee Waybill? You're going to finish up listening to Mastodon. The next thing is going to be a Fee Waybill song.
Yep. So, anyway, complete rubbish. I'll probably throw it away.
Oh, man.
the first time the collection goes down by an album after an episode.
All things level out. You found a Merle, you lost to St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, dude, 2 weeks in a row, man.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh, something to think about.
makes you really wonder about life.
I'm gonna be thinking about that the whole way to the garbage can. Throw this in there. All right, number six. The final one for the week, we've got, I saved the best for last in my opinion, we've got Cosmos Factory. It's the fifth studio album by Creedence Clearwater Revival. This one came out in July 1970 on Fantasy Records. This is big time. Creedence. This is like the height of Creedence commercial success. This led to them touring in Europe, and this album kicks ass.
So there have been quite a few times where I've been so excited to talk about something on this podcast. It's usually something I own or something that's intriguing in another way. But let me tell you, eliminating my own stuff from the conversation, this is probably my favorite thing that you own. Like top three at the very least.
Very good. I've been kind of working on ways to come weasel it in.
Yeah.
But
and luckily, like 75% of this is on soundtracks.
I gotta say, yeah, it also kind of was perfect for this week. That's kind of what I was getting at. Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect album for this week. Let's jump in here. What do you got on the A side then?
Dude, what don't I have on the A side?
Yeah, let's talk about every song. Who cares?
Ramble Tamble, man, this thing is a scorcher. Starting off with a 7-minute song, just a boss move, the percussion kills. Yeah. It like after the first 2 minutes, it's an insane jam.
Yeah, I really like the extended instrumental section in the middle. And then they bring it right back into the main theme. You know, Afrokody's solo kicks ass. Don't mind that it's 7 minutes long to kick off your album. Mm-hmm. I was totally down for Ramble Tamble.
Yeah, man, how about the next one?
Bo Diddley cover. Mm-hmm. It's all right, pretty good. I don't have a ton of notes on Before You Accuse Me, but it's pretty solid.
Yeah, usually like covers like this aren't my thing, but I feel like they did a really good job of just respecting it.
Yeah, one of a handful of covers on here. I mean, this isn't the only one, which is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
The next song is a CCR original that has been covered by a bunch of people. So Travelin' Band is the third track on here. Absolutely rips. I love the guitar, love the horns. It's 2 minutes of rockin' goodness.
Oh, for sure. I love this song beyond words. So energetic, so frenetic, so raw. Cashes out around 2 minutes, like boom, in and out. How much fun would this be to play live? Like you mentioned the covers. Like I can see why it's covered so much. Like this thing has to be fun.
When I got to look at it, it's a wide range of people too. It's been covered by everybody from like Elton John to Def Leppard. Just all kinds of people have covered Travelin' Band.
Okay.
So, as we said, this is an album with a tons of songs that have been on all sorts of things. This is the first one, though, that's been in other media. Travelin' Band has been played in the film Roadhouse. The Jeff Healey Band performs it in the film Roadhouse. Okay. You ever seen Roadhouse?
No. I know about it, but I haven't seen it.
They're the Jeff Healey Band is the house band at the Double Deuce, which is the bar that he's like protecting, and I think there's some bottles being thrown around while this is going on. This has also been in some television shows, Sons of Anarchy, The Good Guys. Okay. It's been on the Rock Band series of video games.
Ooh, okay.
So it's been around. This thing's been on all sorts of media.
Nice, yeah. Very understandably why. It was almost my song of the week, almost.
Did you know this was banned for a while by Clear Channel Radio? For post 9/11, 737 coming out of the sky, that lyric was too much for Clear Channel.
Oh my God, they were on the 9/11 list.
Yes, they were.
Jesus. So I know AC/DC had like almost 10 songs or something on that list. That's all I know about that list. AC/DC took it hard after 9/11.
All right. Yeah, no shit.
Oh man.
The Strokes had a song called New York City Cops about the cops being really dumb. And I'm pretty sure they got that one was going to be on a record that was coming out like right after it. And they nixed it and put it out on the next album. I'm almost positive.
They took it off completely. So it had been released and then they had to re-release it.
I couldn't remember all the ins and outs. I'm glad that you did.
Yeah. So I only remember this because I got a remastered version of that album last year. The song started playing and I was like, oh my God, New York City Cops is on this one. And I had completely forgotten about that whole controversy until listening to the album.
Rolling along here, anything on the next track? I don't have many notes on Ooby Dooby, but I definitely do on Looking Out My Back Door.
Ooby Dooby's cool. Yeah, let's talk about Looking Out My Back Door.
It's got to be a song. I mean, I feel like it's a song about being on drugs. He's seeing all kinds of crazy shit out of his back door, tambourines and elephants, take a ride on the flying spoon. That sounds like, you know, a reference to doing all sorts of heroin and what have you. Apparently, he said he wrote it for his kid, though. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, really sweet, like, almost country song. And apparently, it was about just, like, a fantasy world with his kid, which is pretty cool. And apparently, he, like, got pretty pissed trying to tell people that...
That is not a drug song, yeah.
Didn't we talk about that with the Eagles recently, too?
Yes. Oh, one of their... one of the science fiction-y songs. Alien Abduction or another one about...
Was it the Eagles?
It was.
Okay.
I'm almost certain it was. But yeah, you're right. Something about traveling through space or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you're right. Just a sweet little guitar duet interlude in there. Just a great song. This thing's been in a few movies. In particular, the one that's... No, Paul Blart. The one that is near and dear to my heart. This song is featured in the film The Big Lebowski.
Oh, of course, yeah.
He's in Creedence Clearwater Revival is actually referenced several times in the film, but
yeah.
He's driving home from recovering his car from impound, and he's feeling a little bit better about life. He's playing this song and pounding on the roof of his car while he's smoking a doobie. And then he drops the joint in his lap and freaks out and crashes his car into a dumpster. It's a perfect scene.
It's, oh my God, it's so great. Man, speaking of a movie we've talked about a few times, like the first thing I always think of with that soundtrack is I hate the fucking Eagles, man, and getting tossed out of the cab.
It's funny, too, because there's a Hotel California cover on that soundtrack. By a different band. I'll talk about The Big Lebowski any chance I get, man. It's one of my favorite movies. So,
yeah, I don't blame you. It's gold.
Let's keep running through the jungle with track 6, Run Through the Jungle. Apparently, a lot of people think this song is about Vietnam. It is not.
Really?
John Fogerty himself said it's more about the proliferation of firearms in America.
Huh. Okay.
Which can, you know, makes sense. Having said that, though, I mean, it absolutely feels like a song that's written about Vietnam.
It's absolutely.
Just a swamp rocker. I mean, it's been used in other media, some films about Vietnam. So, I mean, it would make sense. Let me give you the quick rundown of films. It's been in Air America, My Girl Rudy, The Big Lebowski, Radio Arrow, Tropic Thunder, The Sapphires, Kong Skull Island, and Triple Frontier.
Dang.
The scene in Big Lebowski. It's when they're making the drop of the briefcase full of underwear. And he dives out of the car with an Uzi, John Goodman's character. And says tuck and roll. And the Uzi starts going off. I didn't even have to look that up. I know exactly where that comes from. It's also been on a few video games, the Call of Duty Black Ops, Cold War, about Vietnam and stuff like that. So it's been all over the place. But Run Through the Jungle, really great tune.
Okay. The next one, man.
Oh, track 7? So B-side kicks off with Up and Around the Bend. I got to say, without question, Up and Around the Bend is my song of the week.
Yeah.
Unforgettable guitar intro. Just that. Perfect guitar intro. Real quick. When this was released, it was a B-side to Run Through the Jungle. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch. Here's Run Through the Jungle. Your B-side is Up Around the Bend. Just phenomenal.
No matter which way you stack that, that is huge. Like, either could have been the A-side. Man, if this song doesn't fire you up, I want nothing to do with you and you suck at life.
It just makes you feel great, dude. Yeah. It's a song that makes you feel great.
Man, like the drums throughout this whole, especially on the chorus, just boom, 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 boom. Like everything is so loud on it. It's sick. It's almost like proto-glam. And I'll tell you what makes me think that. There's this band, they actually were like one of the early glam hair metal bands called Hanoi Rocks. And do you know much about Hanoi Rocks?
I've heard the name, but that's it.
Yeah, so they were kind of like before Motley Crue, Poison, all those folks got big. They were a Finnish band. Really, I mean, they influenced like GNR and bands like that. And they do a cover of this that is sick, like so good. Nice. Yeah, their drummer was killed in a car accident with some dude from Motley Crue was driving, and they just disbanded kind of shortly after. And
now that you mentioned that, that's where I've heard the name. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. That man. I recommend that cover. As far as like campy 80s covers go, it's pretty solid.
It's another one that's been used in all kinds of media as well. Up Around the Bend has been in. Michael, Remember the Titans, Invincible, the Red Dawn remake. It's been in a couple TV miniseries, the Wonder Years.
Okay.
It's been all over. So CCR is music made for soundtracks, apparently.
Man, it seems like it. Like I kind of forgot this song was on here. Who'll Stop the Rain? Like, just an insane amount of hits on this thing.
Yeah, that's track 9. That was the B-side to Travelin' Band. So that's another one. Hey, here you go. Here's Travelin' Band. Oh, on the B-side, it's Who'll Stop the Rain. Jesus, CCR, say some hits for the rest of this.
Their string from like 68 to 70 or 71 was just uncanny.
Who'll Stop the Rain, honestly, if I hadn't picked Up Around the Bend as my song of the week, Who'll Stop the Rain is right there. I do really enjoy that one. It's a little bit of a shift from like R&B blues rock to more of like a folk rock kind of tune. It's
still great.
Another one, all kinds of media for that one. It was used in the film of the same name, Who'll Stop the Rain.
There's a movie. Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah. Starring Nick Nolte as a Vietnam veteran.
Of course.
So there you go. It's also in a film called Pow Wow Highway. Let's see. I don't have a ton of notes on that one. It has been used in a variety of places. We'll just say that. I don't recognize many of those other films or anything along those lines. All right. So let's roll last two songs. What else you got?
I heard it through the grapevine. Look, no need to be 11 minutes. It's a great cover for like the first 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's a cover of a California Raisins song. Just kidding. It's Marvin Gaye, but I do enjoy the California Raisins version. It's very solid. It's a great song. I really do enjoy CCR's version of it. It just drags on a little too long for my liking.
Yeah. I'm just tapping my watch. Like, come on.
Yeah. Wrap it up, boys. And then honestly, the last song on here, Long As I Can See the Light, fantastic song.
Man, dude, here we go. Save the Best for Last, my song of the week.
It was close for me, man. I mean, the sax solo, the electric piano. It's a very, very underrated CCR song at the very least. This was the B-side to Looking Out My Back Door. Can you believe that?
God.
Like, think about those six songs.
Dude, just an embarrassment of riches going on here. Like, this song moves me so much. It's just so beautiful. You know, put a candle in the window because I feel I've got to move. Though I'm going, I'll be coming home soon, long as I can see the light. It legitimately chokes me up most of the time. Just heading into that abyss, like you said, while that sax solo plays, man.
It's a great way to close an album, great way to close the week. It's a fantastic song to go out on. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you know there's a Joe Cocker cover of that? Have you heard Joe Cocker's version?
No, I have not.
It's pretty good. I listened to it just this afternoon. It's pretty solid.
Okay. Yeah, I bet he put some soul in on it. We should play that on our final episode. Sue us, Fogarty. What are you going to do?
Yeah, go for it. Come after us. All right, so final thoughts on Cosmos Factory.
Yeah, you cannot love this. It's
phenomenal. Nothing that can be said.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't remember what I paid for it. I bought it in Lincoln, Nebraska. Oh, $10. Nice.
Wow. Okay. That's, man, I'd pay double, honestly.
Yeah, I would too, man. It's phenomenal. Yeah. Got a steal. On the whole, I mean, as far as what I paid for what I got this week was pretty solid.
Dude, yeah. Especially that ELO for $3, man. That's still.
I know.
Jeez.
So, our movies week, what are your final thoughts?
I had fun even when I wasn't having fun. Like, even during St. Elmo's Fire, I was just, like, laughing so much at how absurdly bad it was. But,
yeah,
I mean,
me too.
CCR, like, I've been wanting to pressure you on that one for a while, and I'm so glad.
I've been trying to think of ways to slip it in, and it worked out perfectly, because some of the songs have been in so many different films. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Good week.
You gotta, Yeah, you gotta, didn't see that coming. I'm kind of curious where you're going, because I have a couple questions, and I'm like...
Well, I was going to ask you which wrestling move you thought Robert Redford was doing to Jane Tory in that picture that I sent you for my didn't see that coming question. But Mike, it's not especially creative, but here's what I got. So my question is this. You are allowed to create a film of whatever subject you'd like. Doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I would like to know what the subject is, though. Mm. So what sort of film are you creating? And then you get to choose 1 week from our podcast, one episode of the podcast to soundtrack your film. What's the film about, and what week is your soundtrack?
Okay. So I feel like you don't see very many movies about just like solid friendship across a group of people without it turning into like some weird love story or like tension. I just want like a solid movie about like friends and like their life for like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Oh man, which week? I could just cheat out and say Greatest Hits week. Yeah. I mean, classical, so it'd be easy to get the rights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
would be really nice. I mean, honestly, the punk and post-punk week, because it had a, like, it was all in that wheelhouse, but it was unique. Those would be my first two choices, I think. Yeah, what about you?
I think I would probably go with some sort of... Honestly, I would make 2112. Let's just make let's make that film.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, from beginning to end.
Why not? Yeah.
Society without music, without individualism. Guy finds a guitar and, you know, tries to inspire people through music. Eventually he's killed and whatever. I mean, give me Rush 2112 or just the Rush week in general. I can pick and choose. I'll make a film based off of that.
Okay. Okay.
You could do a coming-of-age story from the 80s with that Rush soundtrack,
oh,
too.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
Be some good stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, their stuff is, like, designed for a story to be written, so, yeah, I could see that. Dude, yeah, man, that's tough. I'm going through some of these and kind of forgetting artists that we talked about, like Chilliwack.
Chilliwack, dude. That was the Bruce Cockburn wakes as well.
Yeah, it was. Oh man, I had something kind of similar.
Okay,
only this is a little more specific. So to me, there's just something to be said about like really good closing credit song. So if you were to ever come up with just like a closing credit song, like not from something we've talked about, just like in general, something where you're like, boom, that's the statement song to this movie, what would you choose? I mean, you can even like think of an idea about a movie. Like, what's your closing song? What's your closing track?
Man, that's tough. What's when the credits roll, what is playing? Dude, that's so hard. Man, I want to cheat and say another Rush song because... I don't know. I feel like I want Spirit of the Radio to play in my closing credits.
Dude, screen goes black. Yeah, and then. Boom! 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 Yeah. Boom! That, like, first, like, credit pops up with a boom. Ooh, I like that.
Maybe that. Maybe that's what I'm sorry. It's a cop out. I know I just talked about Rush, but I freaking love Rush. I'm going to have to go with that. What about you?
Why not? Yeah, and I mean, they've been in plenty of soundtracks themselves, so you know they're open for business.
Okay, what do you got? What's yours?
So what made me think of this was the other day, I guess I had stuff on shuffle. I don't know. It popped up this song by Big Thief called Masterpiece, and I was like, oh man, that'd be really good in credit song for a movie. I think that's what I'd choose.
You know, saying that, the other one, we've talked about the band. We haven't actually heard the song, I don't think. The band, When I Paint My Masterpiece, would be a good one to go out on, too.
Dude.
As a credit song.
Dude, that is a phenomenal choice. That, yeah.
I'm going to change it to that. That's my answer.
Oh, man. I love that choice. That's probably my favorite band song.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Have we talked about that one? Has that been on anything?
It has not. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my pick. Good week, man. This was fun.
Yeah, dude, this was a blast. Yeah, like roughly 20 albums left, folks. We're getting there. Now's the time to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, write a review, and tell others about us. Find our Spotify playlist through the link in the show notes. And as always, be good to each other. When you said Creed at first, I was like, holy shit, Creed. And I was like, oh, we listened to Creed.
All right,
can't find a rhyme of my reason. What if?
Oh, that's off of the My Pity for a Dime, right? Isn't that what the album's called? Oh, God, that's a good album. I actually like that album.
It was in Scream 3.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the trailer for that the other day, and that's literally all I could think about. I was like, oh, that Creed song. I wonder if it's going to be in this movie.
Did you say what if, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What if? I know that song. I'm familiar with it.